Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back, listeners, to the podcast of Three Men for Thee in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. We're continuing our amazing interviews with guests at the Salt and Light Conference here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have with us today Trevor Adams, a very special guest, worked for ESPN, so he knows a lot about sports and media. So he was probably behind the camera at some of the games you watched. So Trevor, usually what we do is we ask our guests to tell a little bit about your faith, how you came to know Christ, and then we'll drill down a little bit to find out about what you did ESPN and your special connection with Project Veritas. That's
okay.
Listeners, be ready to hear this information. So go ahead, Trevor.
So I grew up in a small town in Maine, and you Northern Maine, you know that area?
No, right? Not really.
No, but hence I understand the New England. Okay.
So yeah, Northern Maine, small town, born and raised, going to Holton Wesleyan Church, and my family were very strong in their faith. We would attend church every Sunday morning. I had Sunday school. I would have CYC every Wednesday night. I'm not sure if the kids these days know what that was.
Christian Youth.
Yes.
I forget what.
It was CYC.
Yeah.
And then Awana. Awana was another, which my daughter actually attends Awana here in Charlotte. So very active in the church growing up. And there was a play back in the day. It was called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. They would travel around the country and go to different churches and put on their demonstrations and their theatrical show. And that's where I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was nine years old.
Wow.
And ever since, trying to stay close with God and follow his ways. And
I believe you have a daughter. How old is she?
She's nine.
Oh, nine years old too. Yeah. Okay.
She actually gave her life to Christ last year when she was eight.
Oh, wow. All right. Super. Yeah. Well, how did you get connected with media and ESPN, and then what really started screwing things up?
I went to college. I took my major was communications with a concentration in television production. At that time, I wasn't sure what path I wanted to go down, whether it was camera, director, or producer. But I just happened to pick up a camera one day, and my professor told me, hey, you're really good at this. You should look into this. So I kept that in my back pocket, and luckily I got an internship with MTV in New York City.
Wow.
And, you know, internship, basically errand boy, get coffee, do chores for people, and logging tape. Not the fun stuff, but
the opportunity was there.
So
if I'm not mistaken, that's how Kennedy got her show.
Yeah.
You ever see her show?
Yeah. Yep.
I think she was an MTV.
She was an MTV VJ. I think she was there when I was interning. So, yeah, like my resume at the time wasn't any different than any other college student. It was kind of just luck of the draw. I happened to get an internship with MTV, and I did that for about 2.5 months. And out of that, my first job was with The Apprentice, with Donald Trump.
Oh.
So that was.
So you got to meet the man.
Yeah, I did. I got to work. I could say he was my boss at one time.
Oh, wow.
So did that. I did 4 seasons of that show. And I was a camera assistant / PA on that show. And then again, I picked up a camera and the bosses liked it. So I ended up becoming a camera guy. And I also found out how much money they made. So that helped me pick that path. And I became pretty much a director of photography, camera operator for a lot of reality shows. The Bachelor. A lot of Food Network shows. I did a stint with them for a while. Chopped.
Yeah.
But so I did reality TV for about 15 years. And then we had, during the course of the time, moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and ended up branching out and doing a little more different gigs with NASCAR and sports, and got myself involved with ESPN as a freelancer, which turned into part-time and then eventually full-time. And I became a full-time employee with them from 2014 to 2022. So that's kind of like my...
Right, almost right up to the present.
Yep.
And so, at this time, Disney owned ESPN?
Yeah. As far as when I began there, Disney owned ESPN. I think they've owned them since the 90s, okay. I want to say. I'm not completely accurate on that. But.
Well, I must say, Trevor, I'm very envious of your path. I wish I had something, a path like that, instead of sitting at an insurance desk selling insurance.
Yeah. Tell us the journey and the path that got you connected with Project Veritas.
So let me think. So when I started at ESPN 2014, it was a dream come true.
Yeah.
I mean, who would want to say they worked for Disney and ESPN? Because along with working for ESPN, because Disney owns ESPN, you get a lot of perks. You get Disney parks and passes and cruises. Sure. So, I mean, it was a dream come true, and gave me a chance to be home more, see my daughter grow up. So I was very blessed to be in that situation. But
so you get to take your family to Disney World a lot.
Yes, we definitely took advantage of that.
Okay.
Lately, I'm glad we're not going there, because you follow the news. Things coming about Disney aren't so positive these days, I'll put it that way. But so I would say after the election in 2016, that's when you saw a lot of things, I think, in a lot of companies change. And a lot of divisiveness. I want to say, I continue to say, corporations want us divided.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the more divided we are, whether it's race, politically, religiously, medically, it gives the company more power, more control.
Yeah.
And so I witnessed a lot of that working at ESPN after the election in 2016, and just it made the atmosphere very uncomfortable to work with and work in. There's a lot of racism, discrimination happening inside the building. I had reported it over time, but a lot of things just get swept under the rug. And I went on and continued to do my job. And then the COVID pandemic came in to the picture, along with the George Floyd, protests and whatnot. So I just amplified everything that was going on in the world inside of our company. And with us in Charlotte, we're ESPN, but our building is a lot smaller than the main campus that they have in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So it just made it much more of a difficult place to work in, because there's just, it's smaller. Mm-hmm. And you have this.
Did they know your political leanings or anything like that?
Christian values?
I would say not everyone, but it was known where I kind of stood on things. And I think because of that, it was easy to come after me and attack me when I did stand my ground. I did decline the optional CRT and diversity training that Disney kind of put forward, because that's what they push a lot these days. Yeah. I think I got more emails and communications at my job about diversity and inclusion and CRT and pride events more than I had work matters in my email inbox. So when I declined these optional classes, I felt like that put a target on my back within the company. They kind of for sure knew where I stood on things. And that's when I noticed a lot of things happening in my day-to-day job at work, as far as my schedule changing, my days off were changing, being marked late when I wasn't late, and things like that.
Being targeted.
Yeah, I was targeted. So that's when I was concerned about my position within the company. And that's when I reached out to Project Veritas. And if you know much about Project Veritas, they like to go undercover and expose malfeasances inside these corporations and other companies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So
James O'Keefe,
yep. Spoke with them and reached out to them, and they never pushed me. They just told me, we are here to help with you, whatever you decide to do. And I actually, at a time when I was very confused which path I wanted to go down, do I really want to go undercover and do all this? I came across a meme online, which was Ephesians 5:11. Don't partake in the unfruitfulness of the darkness, instead expose it.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was perfect timing.
Yeah.
That was a sign from God that I decided to do this. And I went undercover, and it wasn't to seek out negative things inside the company. It was more initially to protect myself. Because I didn't know Disney and ESPN is a very large company. And I'm being targeted, so it was more to protect myself. But over time, curveball after curveball, I was picking up more evidence of racism, discrimination, the wokeness inside the company, religious, political, medical persecution happening inside the company. So when I sent an email to the CEO of the company to bring these matters to light again, after no action from the company, they put me on administrative leave.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the CEO of Disney is a female, is she not? Or is she?
Well, I believe it is now.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's a man.
Okay.
It was Bob Iger.
Yeah.
And he handed the reins down to another guy. I forget his name. But I emailed the CEO of ESPN, which is Jimmy Pitaro. So, and of course, I got no response from them. I got handed off to the Disney HR employee relations team. And after several Zoom meetings, they said they looked into my investigations. I have doubts about that. And we had a meeting in November after being on administrative leave for over a month now. I could tell they're about to fire me over the vaccine mandate because I didn't. Disney, let me go backwards real quick. Disney had put out a mandate in July saying that everyone had to be vaccinated by the end of September. And my supervisors knew that I had flu-like symptoms, whether you want to call it the flu or COVID.
Yeah.
I had it. So I didn't think that mandate,
applied
to me because my supervisors knew about it and they never said anything about it. They never came to me. But months later in the Zoom meeting, they came after me, said, "Hey, you never filled out the requirements." And I could tell right on the moment they were about to fire me. And so that's when I brought up the fact, I'm like, okay, well, if this is where we're going, can I apply for a religious accommodation to the vaccine mandate? And I could tell I threw a monkey wrench in their plans big time. And so, because I didn't want to stay with the company, I was 50-50. I was concerned, but at the same time, I love what I do.
Yeah.
So I wanted to explore every path I could to stay there as best as I can. And so weeks later, we had a meeting set up with Disney HR, and it was more like an interrogation meeting where they just, I don't know if you've seen the video that's out.
No, I haven't seen it. We can find that online.
Yeah, you can find it on my
Tell our viewers how they can find that.
If you go to rumble.com and look up The Real Trevor Adams, that's my handle, you'll find a lot of my videos that I put out along with the Project Veritas videos that show you the behind the scenes of ESPN and Disney and how they handle this situation.
Okay, I'll try to put a link up so that our viewers can see that link.
Okay. So this interrogation ended about an hour long, and that's where they asked me everything, anything about my faith, which was very, I think, what's the word I'm looking for? Invasive.
Yeah. What business is of theirs?
Yeah. Like, as soon as I feel like, once I told them I wanted a religious accommodation, I feel like they should have granted it with no questions asked. Legally, I think that's how it was supposed to be done. There's a lot of questions about that these days, but. So they asked me a lot of things like just where do you go to church? Do you go to church every Sunday? What happens if you were working?
Oh my goodness.
Do you think this is the mark of the beast? How does your pastor feel about the vaccine mandate? Do they agree with you? And what do other peers in your church feel? And
mark of the beast, wow.
Yeah, they were bringing up a lot of things. And if you just give them an inch on any answer.
So you weren't able to bring them to salvation then, huh?
No. In fact, I had my interviewers were asking me to explain the mark of the beast and things like that. Cause I think they were told to do their job, and you can tell they've been doing this for a while. I'm sure I wasn't the first one and the last one, but it was an interesting time. So long story short, we had a meeting. I was still put on administrative leave for 2 months. So now we're into like late December of 2021. Still not allowed into the building during this whole time. They're looking into me in the building and finding anything they can to find a reason to get rid of me. And the worst thing they found is apparently someone said I had my mask down when I was eating. That's the worst thing that they could find on me. So eventually I think they were forced legally to approve my religious exemption, and late December they approved it. But along came with requirements that no one else had to take. I had to get fitted for an N95 mask. I had to shave my face so it was a proper fit. I had to wear a face shield. all these things there I had to do to return back to the building. So at this point, you know what they're trying to do. They're just trying to make my life miserable.
So yeah,
to not want to go back or quit. They're doing everything they can. So I delayed it as much as I can. And I was like, sure, I'll go along with it. Even though at the time, I know for a fact, other people in my situation did not have to do the things that they were asking me to do. And so I went back to work for one day. And that one day gave me all the answers I needed. I had coworkers I hadn't seen in months because I've been separated from everybody. So I think that was their plan too, was to just alienate me from my coworkers,
sure,
and from everyone. Because who knows what rumors and talks were being said in the building when I was out of there. And I had employees come back, come to me that day and just say, hey, look, we've been pretty much told to stay away from you. If you have issues, go to your supervisor. We're not going to be able to help because there's a lot of, I guess, drama attached to your name, obviously, within the company. So that's when I went home and I was like, I just don't feel safe in this building now. I don't know if they're going to, you know, in the world of false flags these days that are happening, I thought they might do something and put my name on it. And so at that point, I'm thinking about my safety of myself and my family. So that's when
this is scary. I mean,
yes. That's when I told Project Veritas, like, hey, let's set up an HR meeting and maybe you guys can represent me and attend the HR meeting. And they did. And they pretty much pressured Disney HR, said, hey, why are you retaliating against Mr. Adams? Why are these things, you know, being done to him? And they, you know, they bailed out of the meeting. And that night they sent me an email. They sent me an email and fired me for disciplinary actions.
Is that the way they explained it?
Pretty much, yeah. It was because I had Project Veritas attend my Zoom meeting, but that was out of my safety. And so, you know, at the end of all this, I don't look at myself as a victim. I consider myself lucky and blessed that I'm able to tell my story and help other people out there, because these corporations and these mega companies, this is what they do.
Yeah. Have you considered, at the time, were you considering any legal action?
I was, yes. I had a couple lawyers I've been speaking with, and some of those are ongoing, so I can't divulge too much about it. But yes, I have had help with legal.
Now, believe me, I one of the people I would have tried to contact, if it was me, would have been Harvey Dillon. I would have tried to contact her or ASAP, but you have to do what you got to do and all that, and that's none of our business. So
I try. I get on True Social and I try to reach out to Harmeet and Cash Patel and a few others.
Well, we are so sorry. I am. This is so disgusting. I grew up watching, you know, little Mickey Mouse Club. Then when we got older and they built Disney World down in Florida where I was living, I was in my 30s. And my daughter, and we took her to Disney, and to this day, she actually is a travel, let's see, she works for a travel agency company that's associated with Disney. So and she just got back there yesterday from a meeting. But anyway, I'm so discouraged to hear that. Now, any American company would have the nerve to do this. This is persecution. It really is not. I'm so sorry.
Well, I just want to say to our listeners, we have a very brave Christian sitting between us today.
Yes.
One who is willing to stand up, to speak up, and listen. You've heard his experiences. So if you know somebody that needs a media expert with these experiences, send us an email. There might be an amazing opportunity for Trevor out there. So let us know if you do have an opportunity. Trevor, we want to thank you for sharing with us. And Christians, we have to be awake. We have to be wise, because we've heard the wokeness is taking place, trying to shut us up, close us up, and kick us out. And we're not going to stand for it anymore. We're going to be brave, bold Christians. We're going to spread his word wherever we can and whenever we can. So tune back into our other podcasts. And anything else you'd like to say to our listeners?
Just stay strong and keep your faith in the Lord.
Yeah. And when we say, we talk about being awake, we don't mean woke. We mean awake.
Yes.
And be in prayer, because this is not the only situation. I fear that there are many people who are going through what you're going through, particularly Christians. And we are just were adamantly opposed to this kind of attitude, this kind of treatment, this kind of action. I can scarcely believe what I hear, but it's true. I have no doubts. So, my friend, our prayers are with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank appreciate you. It.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.